Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, tonight, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 7. We're going to start with the stoning of Stephen, but really the message tonight is about how the Lord has sovereignly chosen to manifest His power. And I'll tell you ahead of time, He has sovereignly chosen to do it through people. Now, He can do it without doing it through people. You're going to see that in a minute. But that's not His original plan, and it's still not His plan. So we're going to start tonight looking at the stoning of Stephen. Most of you know Stephen was the first martyr of the church. And he preached a scathing message. I mean, it's amazing that message that he preached. He didn't hold back. He's like Billy. He came in with both guns blazing, you know. and he never slacked up a bit. I'm sure he could tell it was making him mad. So let's pick it up near the end of it, though, because that's not what he taught, was not the lesson tonight. So Acts chapter 7, and starting in verse 54, he just finished his speech. And he said, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Normally, Jesus is seated, but this has got his attention. Precious to the Lord is the death of his saints, you know. And verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Well, that just made him madder. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Of course, we know that is Saul of Tarsus. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So he knew he was dying. He knew they were going to kill him. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, which means he died. But he died peacefully. We talked this morning about the love of God and how the Lord is working, trying to develop more of that in Gary. As of this moment, I don't think Gary has that kind of love. If it's in me at all, it's sure and still in seed form. But it wasn't in seed form in Stephen. And his prayer to loose, not just, it was all the people, notice it's plural, lay not this sin to their charge, meaning all of them, which including Saul of Tarsus. Now, if you read chapter 8, we'll just start in verse 1 here, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the same time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And we could go on and on, but Saul, he starts savaging the church. He's going everywhere. He has authority and letters to arrest men and women and even children and bring them back for prosecution. Some of them were put to death. And the thing of it is, Saul thinks he's doing God a service. He honestly thinks that that Christianity is some kind of a cult or a sect. He thought it was something that God did not approve of. And in fact, verse 3, you can tell, he says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. Well, the thing of it is, that prayer of Stephen's, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, which is so almost identical to the Lord's prayer on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That prayer You know, thank God for Pastor Dave. I never would have put this together without him breaking down for us how forgiveness looses heaven. You know, the binding and loosing message that he taught. How you know, if you bind people by unforgiveness and you loose them by forgiving them. And that prayer of Stephen's loosed heaven to go after everybody that was involved in the stoning. Now, we're only told about Saul, but I have a sneaking suspicion, can't prove it, but I got a sneaking suspicion the Holy Ghost went out after all those people. Okay. But now, this is rare that Jesus himself shows up. You know, we had this actually going on today, especially in countries like Iran, where the church is suffering such persecution. They're having dreams of the man in white, and he appears to them in the dreams, and they, "Who are you?" "I am Jesus." And actually winning people directly. So that tells me there's a lot of people praying for Iran, loosing people in that country. But anyhow, let's see how this prayer loosed Jesus to go after Saul. So go over to Acts 9, verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth," which makes you think he might have been on horseback. We don't know for sure. "But he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him," now notice it's direct, "Saul, Saul." It doesn't say, "Why persecutest thou Jesus?" He said, "Why persecutest thou me?" The Lord has shown up. I mean, the Lord himself, the man in white, can I say? The same one that's appearing to the ones in Iran. I mean, that prayer of forgiveness loosed Jesus himself to go after Saul of Tarsus. And Saul's a real smart fella. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" I love that because it's like he's saying, "I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, you are Lord." Smart fella. And the Lord told him, I love how it starts off. You ever notice? "I am." You ever notice that? "I am." "I am" has showed up. He says, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, I bet he was. Trembling and astonished. This is the second really good question. Saul is a smart guy. He says it again, "Lord, whoever you..." Now I know who you are. "Jesus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" See, and that's really the only good question for all of us. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" I got to hear Pastor Bronk's message from this morning, this afternoon. And he was teaching out of James. And even businessmen, I mean, we're supposed to use good sense, and there's such a thing as a gospel entrepreneur. But even the businessmen aren't supposed to make all their decisions without seeking the Lord. And I love how James put it. I mean, he got it right down to Jane, see the ball. He said, "If it's the Lord's will, first off, we will live." I mean, that kind of levels the playing field right there. That's okay, let's get it down here, you know. If it's his will, we'll live. Oh, and then we'll do whatever he tells us. We'll go here or we'll go there. So that's what Saul is doing. He says, "Lord, what will you have me do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. They didn't see what Saul saw. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and he fasted. He neither did eat nor drink. Now, before we go to the next part here, it's obvious the Lord can do his own work himself. He showed up. I am Jesus. This bright light came, and Saul at this moment is blinded. And Jesus did it himself directly, as far as we can tell here. Isn't that right? But that's not the normal way that he prefers to do things. If you go all the way back to Genesis, God made man and woman in his own image, and he said, let them have dominion. And that's always been God's plan. He is sovereign, but he sovereignly chose from the very beginning that man would have dominion on planet Earth. Now, it's God doing the works, just like Jesus said, but it's still, he prefers to do it through man. That's why he didn't heal blind Bartimaeus before Jesus showed up. He's always wanted to do it through man. But the reason I think he wanted to do it this way, now you can tell he can do it without you. Isn't that right? He didn't need no help. I am Jesus, you know. But now look how he does this. So starting in verse 10 now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And I love this description. It just calls him a disciple. He's Joe Believer. It doesn't call him an apostle, a prophet. We have no record of him ever later doing any exploits. We don't know. He's not a elder in a church. We don't know anything about him. And I think that's on purpose. What we need to know is he's a disciple. Well, how many disciples I got in the room here? You know, we're disciples, aren't we? All right. So there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And unto him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise. Now, I love this. See, the Lord is able to give you precise, detailed instructions where you'll know what to do. So he said, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen, this Saul of Tarsus hath seen in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. So the Holy Spirit is working this on both ends. He's showing a vision to Saul, who is blind. And in this vision, Saul sees a man, and he knows the name, named Ananias. I don't know how he knows, but a man named Ananias, this guy's going to come, he's going to lay his hands on me, and I'm going to receive my sight. That's the Holy Spirit working on that end. Now he's telling Ananias, you're the man, I want you to go and do this. And I love this too, that just, you know, this morning's message, how he's not trying to make robots out of us. It's amazing how he was able to raise you from the dead, quicken you out of one species, the fallen species of Adam, rebirth you into a new species, the species of Jesus, and not lose you. You're still you. You got your personality. I'm really glad Angie didn't lose her personality, or Amanda, or Aaron, or I'm glad they still have them. Okay? But it's Christ taking over us, but it's still two individuals. Notice there's Christ here and Ananias. They're two individuals, and Jesus has instruction. And I love it that Ananias is permitted to ask questions. How many of you might have questions? You want me to do what? So then Ananias answered. I love this. Lord, I have heard by many of this man. Ananias, who knew who it was. What? You want me to do what? I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here in Damascus, he has authority from the chief priest to bind, that means arrest, put in handcuffs, all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, King James, go thy way. How about do what I told you? Do what I told you. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? do what I told you for, but the Lord does give him some explanation, and I love that. He doesn't have to. See, my dad would probably say, you do it because I told you to do it, you know. And that's okay. I mean, that's, if you're the one in authority, you can do that, you know. But the Lord said, no, you do what I told you, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And boy, did he ever. Did he ever. Just read. Anyway, what Dave calls the chapter 11 chapter. So Ananias went his way. For he followed the instructions. He entered into the house. And putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me. Now isn't that, I'll stop just for a moment. Look at the Lord's preferred way of doing it. Couldn't the Lord walk in? The same Lord that appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, I am Jesus, with the bright light. Couldn't the Lord just the same? We just saw where he can do that. But that's not the plan of the Lord. It's never been the plan of the Lord. His plan has always been for man to have dominion on planet Earth. It's his power, it's his anointing, his Holy Spirit, but he prefers to do it through man. So he chose this disciple, and has to be, you do have to be obedient, you know. And he goes over there and he says, let me read this verse again. Brother, starting with Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as you came, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Whew. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, I believe he was baptized in water, and I believe he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can't prove that, but he was baptized. Now, what does that tell you? The Lord himself, we saw how the Lord could appear without a human body, without a disciple. He could appear and do pretty much whatever he wants. You do know God is God. Okay. But we also see his preferred method. No. Okay, let's think about this. So he talks to Ananias. We don't know if Ananias was in prayer. I don't know. You're not always in prayer when God talks to you. I don't know why God likes to talk to me in the shower. I'm always going, really? Now? Got nothing to, I got no recorder, I got nothing. We're right on the soap, no. But he can talk to you anytime. But see, when he sent him over there, as soon as Ananias obeyed him, now it's Ananias' hands. He's got his hands on Saul. But it's through his hands that the Holy Spirit flows. Did you get that? Did you get that? And you go, why? I mean, he didn't use any human hands to make him blind. No, but that was the exception rather than the rule. And I am absolutely convinced it was the prayer of Stephen that loosed heaven to that extent to go after Saul. Which, by the way, if we forgive all of our relatives... we might lose heaven to go after them, but anyway, just a thought. But what gets me now, knowing that we just saw where the Lord can do it without a human involved, but he chooses just a Joe disciple, somebody we don't have any, he has no notoriety, no name, no ministry that we know of, never hear of this fella again. Joe disciple, or can I just say you? He wants to work through Billy. Just Joe disciple. Worse than that, he wants to work through Gary. You guys don't know. He wants to work through you. He wants to work through you. And the thing of it is, when you obey him, the power of the Holy Ghost will flow through your hands the same way that it flowed through Ananias. There it is, right there. There it is. And we have got to come to the place where that is normal expectancy for us. Well, I just hear, Jesus said that's exactly how he operated. He says, I don't do anything of myself. What I hear, that's what I say. What I see my Father doing, that's what I do. The Son, in fact, he even said it, the Son of himself can do nothing. That'll get you kicked out of most churches I grew up in. But it's the truth anyway. He was a human like the rest of us. And he laid down his divinity. I know he's God in the flesh, but he laid that down so he could be the pattern for us. So he would spend his time in fellowship with the Father. You know, he would stay all night in prayer sometimes, but he would get his instructions. And when he would do it, then the power of the Holy Spirit would flow through him. That same image, that same seed, maturity is what he's trying to develop in us. And for a long time, I like how Alan put it. You know, he says, I thought I had a little Jesus on the inside of me. He had an apartment in there with a kitchenette and a bed and had a refrigerator and everything. But that's not the way it is it? No, he's literally, yes, sir, Galatians 2:20. Go to Galatians 2:20. We know we could probably quote it, but let's just look at it real quick. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Never, so you'd say I'm dead, right? What's the point of crucifixion? Death. Nevertheless, I live. I'm dead, but I'm alive. Well, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is trying to describe the mystery of this revelation of Christ in you. But it's not like you disappear. I thought that for a long time. I thought mortification was kind of, Gary's going to go away. And I think I probably took that too far because I would say things like, I got to get out of his way. And in one sense, that's true. Okay? But Gary's not going to disappear. And like this morning's message and what he's, I really recommend those three messages of Pastor Dave's. It's a private worship series, volume 2. And the first three messages in that series talks about the Father. He's just been having me listen to those over and over and over again, praying in tongues, and just listen to them again, praying in tongues. But it's developing, I'm starting to understand what's going on here. Paul didn't disappear. Paul is still Paul. But he's no longer Saul. See, Amanda, I talked about her this morning, our youngest daughter, the one that has the story. I told her, I said, well, I told your story again today. So she's already listened to the message again. She said, it is so true. I am still Amanda, but I am not the same Amanda that was there then. Now there it is, see. He doesn't want to do away with B. God loves B. He wants B to remain B and have B's personality. But Christ, the heart motivations, the core motivations, the way we think, the living for the kingdom, that's Christ in us. And as we understand his mind and obey what he wants for us individually, it's amazing how the Holy Ghost will do the same kind of message, completely different. But Bronk was kind of teaching along the same line this morning. Says, really, the more you surrender to, he was using the term revivalist, the more you sell out to this message, you don't get to choose where you live. You don't get to choose what your occupation is. You don't get to choose what car you drive. Not really. You're sold out. Now you can ask the Lord. He may let you have any kind of car or house you want. But he's got a plan for your life, and you can't be living in Omaha if he wants you in Tulsa. You can't be living in Tulsa if he wants you in Omaha. I'm just picking Omaha. I said, boy, that is so right. And that's really the message that James was writing to those businessmen. and really getting it down to where the rubber meets the road, he says, well, here's how you should pray. First off, if it's the Lord's will that I live, well, that's, let's start there. Oh, that's pretty basic. That's more basic than what car you're driving, isn't it? God, I'm at time. Well, the point of tonight's lesson is this, and I'm going to stick with it and not, it seems like the more I teach, the shorter the message is getting, but that's okay. See, the point is this. Ananias is just a disciple. We don't know anything else about him. I think that's on purpose. But the Lord wants to use us. We are the body of Christ. We have to come to the place where when he speaks, if we don't understand or if we're a little afraid, we can ask questions. But we have to understand that when he tells us to do something, let me just ask you, how important was it that Ananias obeyed the Lord when it comes to Saul of Tarsus? Dear Lord, he became Paul the Apostle and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. You never know. But all that Ananias didn't know that, really. He just knew the Lord said, go pray for him and get him baptized in the Holy Ghost. I wonder how much of Paul's ministry is on Ananias' account. Might be a lot. All of it, I think, is on Stephen's account. His life and ministry got cut short, so he just gets Paul's. Anyway, I don't know how all that works. But I know the Lord is righteous and the good judge. He's the perfect judge. I can't get away from prayer. Sue and I at home, we walk. We don't even realize we're doing it anymore. We're just walking. She's praying. I'm praying. We look at each other. Walk past and I'm telling you, it's getting to where nothing matters to me much anymore. Really, I feel a little bit like, give me revival or give me death. You know, Dave would say, if this is all there is, just kill me now. But it's not all there is. Thank God we've got a Bible that shows us our inheritance and that we can have it. So just keep pressing in. I don't know what else to tell you. Just keep pressing in. And you are a disciple. I fully expect more and more that the Lord will appear to us or speak to us or somehow start giving us the instructions that he has. Our job is to be a disciple and obey him. And trust that when we obey him, his power will flow through us just like it flowed through Ananias. That's his plan. He's not going to change it. We might as well receive it. Amen? I'll just phrase it. Sentences I'm hearing, going back to the message. Things Ananias did not do. He did not put out a fleece. Did you notice that? He did not put out a fleece. Lord, if the dew is on this side, I'll do it. If it's on that side, I won't do it. You remember the fleece? Kenneth Hagin says, if you, in the New Covenant, if you're going to use a fleece, you're probably going to get fleeced. You have access, direct access to the Holy Ghost. Another thing that Ananias did, these are just sentences I'm hearing while I'm trying to do confessions. What's wrong with him? Doesn't he know I'm trying to do confessions? All right, the other thing I heard was, he didn't wait for a confirming prophet. We need to develop our ability to hear the Lord enough where we trust when we hear him. Because time is of the essence. Time is of the essence oftentimes. Now sometimes the Lord will send a confirming prophet. Dave used to say though, he said, I'm so embarrassed if the Lord has to send a prophet to me. After all this time, I'm supposed to be able to hear the Lord for myself. And I know he's been telling me, talking to me, if he has to send a prophet, it's because I chose not to hear. I didn't want to hear that, or I didn't want to obey that. And if it's that important, he'll send a prophet. He said, how embarrassing is that? Well, let's get there. Let's mature to that level. Hallelujah. But he didn't put out a fleece. He didn't wait for a confirming prophet, did he? I think Ananias might have been a mature disciple.